Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is ascended from earth to heaven. It's one we don't hear very often, so it's hard for us to remember. This feast is often one, in my experience, that tends to get missed or overlooked a little bit. You know, we're basking in the glory of Pascha and celebrating and this fast-free period, and what a blessing it is. And then we come to the end of that time. Today, Wednesday, was the leave-taking of Pascha, and there's Ascension, and Ascension kind of like, in the same kind of way, Theophany following Christmas suffers a little bit too, and that it often falls on a day where, you know, it's not easy for us to get to church, and it's just one of those things that kind of happens, and we sometimes miss it. So I would really encourage us to try to grab onto this day as best as we can, especially in the future, once we kind of get back to a little more sense of normalcy with the church. And our eyes are, you know, it's this in-between time, you know, Pascha and then Pentecost is coming. So we're kind of excited about Pentecost, but Ascension, you know, it's a huge day. I mean, it's nothing that we really should take lightly. It's an amazing, amazing thing that God did for us on this day. But Christ truly ascended in the flesh. It was deified flesh, granted, but it was human flesh that he ascended into heaven with. And this is it's the number of things. It's the completion of his work here on earth. The work still has to be fully completed in the gift of the Holy Spirit in 10 days from now, but his earthly ministry is completed today. Because he says farewell to his apostles, and he is taken up into heaven with the holy angels into a cloud. Think about the joy in heaven with Christ returning to heaven and coming in this bodily form. It had to be quite an amazing sight, I would think, in heaven at that time. I would like to go back to the scriptures, especially for those who were unable to be here tonight to hear everything, because there is so much in them. There's mentions of the Mount of Olives, in which Christ ascended and from which he ascended into heaven. And then there is the mention of the gates, and listen for that. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then there's the mention of the promise, the Holy Spirit to come. The first is from the reading of, I forgot to grab it. I think it's Isaiah. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in the last days the mountains of the Lord shall be manifest, and the house of God shall be upon the summits of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall come to it, and many peoples shall go and say, Come, let us ascend to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will tell us his way, and we shall walk in it." And then the second reading, again, this one from Isaiah, "Go ye, pass through my gates, make ready my pathway, and make a way for my people." And then in the last reading, the last of the Old Testament prophecies is from Zechariah. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which lieth opposite Jerusalem, on the side whence the dawning of the sun." So all these things point to, obviously, the mountain, but it also speaks of not only the earthly mountain of Olives, which he ascended, but also the heavenly mountain, where it talks about all of the mountains, and this will be at the summits of the mountains, and the and the city of God will be there. That's all of us ascending. Someday we will all ascend into heaven. And the Lord, in ascending into heaven, he passes through the gates and he makes ready the pathway for all of us to be able to ascend into heaven. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, magnificent image. And then the last one simply is just another reiteration of the Mount of Olives, but it ends really amazing, you know, with the that all of the earth shall be brought up into heaven, that heaven is prepared for all of us. And again, that imagery is just so incredibly beautiful. Then we move on to the epistle, and I'm just going to read a few parts of that where it talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day journey. Again, this is just, it speaks so much of us being taken up with the Lord. It's just, it's such a fascinating and amazing image for us to have. And then in the gospel, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Then he led them up as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. I really love that. Continually in the temple blessing God. So this day is just an amazing, there's a lot of things going on here, and it's really hard to talk about them all. It's incredible. But somehow we need to get outside of ourselves and really try to enter into the idea that Christ is leading us into heaven today. He's almost taking us by our hand and leading us there in a very real way. And some may say that this is a sad day because for the disciples, the Lord ascended into heaven. He left them here on earth. And for us, we're no longer in the fast-free period of Pascha. And, you know, we're kind of in this in-between period between now and Pentecost. But truly, you know, if we listen to those words in the gospel, and they return to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. So we should be full of joy and anticipation all at the same time for Pentecost, which is coming right around the corner. And what did they do? They continually were in the temple blessing God. That's what we, as much as we, the temple is not just the church. The temple, our heart is a temple of the Lord. And we need to be in our heart praising God as much as we can every moment of the day, of every day. There's no time where we should not be worshiping God. What does the scripture say? Pray without ceasing. So we need to really work on our hearts and work on remembering that our focus here and now needs to be on Christ in our hearts and worshiping him in that temple. And that this life is indeed not the end. It's not the end all that we think it is. You know, we often may think of our life here as our story. That this is the story of our life, what we do here. and that heaven is an appendix or a conclusion of what was started here. But in reality, this life that we're given here is a preparation. It's a preparation for our life eternally in heaven, where we are united with Christ. But if we're not preparing here for that life, if we're not living a life of continual repentance in this life, God forbid, it may very well happen that we could be taken at a time where we're not in a state of repentance. And this is why we, whenever we fall, because eventually, inevitably, almost continually for some of us, for all of us, we do sin. But we have to remember that when we sin and we see our sin and we catch ourselves, that we have to pick ourselves up right away. We can't fall into despair. We can't fall into shame, because shame comes from the evil one. We need to pick ourselves up immediately in repentance. And we need to return to Christ so that there are greater chances that we're going to be in that state of repentance when the Lord takes us from this earth. But if we're not attentive, and if we fall into sin and we go, oh, I'm going to have to go to confession, don't want to go to confession right now, so I'll deal with it later. That's not a good thing. It's good to repent immediately, and then if you need to take it to confession, then you do. But there are so many sins that we commit every day, we can't possibly remember all of our sin to take it to confession, but we do remember the sins that dog us, the ones that drag us down, the ones that cause us to fall into hopelessness and shame. Those are the ones that we have to pick ourselves up right away, and then we go to confession as soon as we possibly can. But repentance comes first. Repentance is not simply going to confession. It's something that you do that actually leads you to the confessional. But you repent. And that's what we need to do. We need to be extremely, extremely attentive to this life, because heaven and hell aren't places that we go to after our life here on this earth. Heaven and hell are experiences that we experience here and now and in eternity. They're the experiences of our life. We can live virtually in hell here on this planet if we choose to. If we choose to live and dwell in our sin, we are living in hell. If we live a life of repentance and we're continually seeking Christ, then we are living in heaven. So we just need to keep focusing and working on our hearts, preparing for our true life, which comes after this life. That's what we need to get focused on that. And we need to, hopefully, we can get to a place where we're looking more at that life and spending more time in that life than we are in this life. And what I mean by that is living in the world and enjoying the worldly pleasures, but experiencing and looking to Christ. There are just a few quotes here I'd like to read from a book called The Year of Grace of Our Lord, which really touched my heart when I read them. Quote, "We think too much about this, how this life is now. We do not think enough of what it will be. At Matins for the feast, if we had served Matins tonight, we would have heard, 'We who live in this world, let us feast like the angels.'" And there were so many mentions of the angels tonight in the hymnography. It's really amazing. And think about, enter into what the angels were experiencing when Christ re-entered heaven. "That is to say, let us open our minds more to the angels and try to enter their feeling, experience some of what they experienced when the Son returns to the Father. We do have this opportunity in every liturgy, when mystically, when because in the liturgy, the heavens open and we join in with all the choirs of angels in heaven and we worship God. As much as we're able, we need to try to enter into that. Another quote, let us go ahead, almost like leap forward. Let us go ahead in the Spirit and be near the Blessed Virgin Mary and the glorified saints who will be our true co-citizens in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for Christ our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to come again. That's from Philippians. And then one last quote, our lives would be transformed. And I love that word transformed, because that's what we're doing here on this earth, in this time of preparation. We're becoming transformed. And it would be transformed from now on if we threw our hearts over the barrier into the next life, beyond this world, into the kingdom, where is found not only our own true good, but also the true good of those whom we love. And that incorporates all of the church. That's another beautiful image. Let us embrace this feast. Human flesh has entered the Holy of Holies in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is opening for us the gate which is eternal life, through which we too shall enter even now as best as we can to experience it. Let us keep on looking forward to the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, but also Christ's return from heaven for our ascension in our flesh to the eternal experience of the communion with the Holy Trinity. Glory be to God for all things.